You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
But rehearsals was a really special time as well because we had the American creatives come over and they obviously were so grateful that they got to be there and be putting up the first Hamilton production since the pandemic shutdown. And so it was very emotional for all of us to experience what that was like. We finished the first run of Act One and we all just bawled our eyes out.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you're watching on YouTube, hello. You can see our guest as well, Daniel Seta. Hey, Daniel, how are you?
Hi. Good, thanks. So really lovely to be here.
So nice to have you on the pod.
Thank you.
For everyone that's listening on whatever, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, blah, 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 welcome to the podcast. Thanks to our producers, Broadway Podcast Network. If you want to check them out, you can go to bpn.fm. If you haven't tried out Built for the Stage yet, you can check out the website, builtforthestage.com, or click the link in the description of this episode. If you want to follow Dan on the gram, you can go to D Aceta. I'm saying that right, correct? Aceta?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Good. That's D-A-S-S-E-T-T-A. You also can see that in the description of this episode. You can also see his website. You can go to his YouTube. So if you leave this interview loving Daniel, which I'm sure you will, just check out the description of the episode and you can get to know him even more. So let's get to know you. Let's rewind to young Daniel and go to like some boom, 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 pleather pants. Can we talk about that? Daniel posted this phenomenal video of him as a young performer dancing in these pleather pants, giving us all the sass, all the amazement. He's being a little embarrassing, but it is so fierce. So make sure you check that out. Tell us about who that young Daniel was.
Oh, that young little boy. I started dancing when I was like 3. I kind of knew from a very young age that it was exactly where I wanted to be, what I wanted to do with my life. And, you know, I became obsessed with performing and I, you know, wanted to kind of do everything that I could. I entered all these competitions. I had the most loving and supportive parents. They didn't pressure me at all. It was all me that wanted to kind of jump up there and do it. That's basically my passion started from when I was little. And that video is definitely a little glimpse into the fierceness and how hard I used to go when I was a child. I think I was like 12 or 11 in that video. And that was actually like this big competition called Australian Dance Idol. And it was like a national sort of competition where they were searching for sort of the best dancers in like 3 sort of like age categories. And I actually ended up winning my category, which was the junior division. Yes. And believe it or not, the prize option for me was to either go to New York, a trip to New York. But back then, obviously, my mom was like, I don't know about just like sending my other 12-year-old son to New York. Or it was $5,000. And so I was just like, I want to go to New York. I want to go to New York. And my mom was like, you're taking the money.
Right. And we're putting that in the bank account for something to invest in you for.
Exactly. Well, for more training. Yes.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. So for everyone listening, you can blatantly obviously see it in the title that you clicked on to even listen to this, but I was so excited to talk about the pleather pants that Daniel is joining us from Australia. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see the nice brightness of Daniel's screen. And then over here, you can see that, oh, there's some mood lighting going on over at Coach Joe's place. And it's 10 p.m.
It's
here.
It's pretty good mood lighting, though.
Right, right. I got my nice ring light here just blinding me. And then just a little bit of a lamp behind, but we're going to get into the Hamilton production that's going on in Sydney. But I wanted to know from that video, all joking aside, how early did you start proper training? Was it then? Were you already taking dance? Like,
yeah.
You had made up your little young mind, like, I'm in this, like, we're going.
Oh, pretty much. Yeah. The dance school that I grew up training at when I was young, had lots of opportunities and lots of amazing choreographers and teachers come in and train us. So from a very young age, I was exposed to opportunities that many young people don't get to do. We had choreographers like pull us out of class and like put us behind an artist on So You Think You Can Dance at like 13 years old, which is crazy. And I got to dance at like award shows and things like that. And very early on, probably around that sort of same age as well, I got to sort of be in the children's chorus for numerous operas at the Sydney Opera House as part of our Australian opera company, Opera Australia. And so as a child, I was already kind of getting a taste of what performing in a professional atmosphere was like. And I knew from what, even just like watching the adults, I remember looking at them and being like, oh, these people actually do this for a job. Like, you know, they've grown up now. They're not kids like me. And and they're actually doing this as a job that they, you know, are earning a living and providing for their family or whatever. But like, this was something that is real, and it's something that can continue past just kind of dancing as a kid. And so, you know, seeing that inspired me. And then I kind of found my love for musical theater when I watched The Lion King, the musical when it came to Sydney. And I saw that at a very young age. And I just remember watching the show and just being in awe of what was going on. And I just was like, this is the world that I want to be a part of.
Yeah. Between yourself and maybe your peers, growing up in Australia, were the performers that you looked up to mostly from Australia, like these, like Lion King that you said, or the Opera House, or did you grow up listening to Broadway cast albums? Like how is it for a young person in Australia who's interested in theater?
Yeah, I think, definitely I listened to a lot of cast recordings as a kid. And that kind of also fueled my love for theater. But I think as times kind of, I think times are very different now with access to the internet, obviously. But you know, as I grew up and I started getting into my teenage years, I was, you know, on YouTube watching Broadway performers. I'm obsessed with Jeremy Jordan, low key. that was kind of like my like teenage years. I was just like, wow, what a voice. I want to be able to sing like that. I want to be able to perform, you know, to that caliber. And so, you know, people from America and in the Broadway community definitely inspire over here in Australia, because we also, as much as there are bits of Australian theater that get created here, a lot of, you know, the big shows like Hamilton and, you know, Wicked and stuff like that, they get to come to Australia and, you know, the creative teams come here. And so, you know, we know that that happens. And so I think we also, like, the minute something comes out in America, we kind of all jump onto it and we're like, what is this? What is it? And like kind of delve into it, because we know that it will probably get here as well.
Yeah. Okay, so you didn't get to go to New York when you won the competition. When was your first time coming over to New York City?
2014. My first show as a 19-year-old was Wicked. I made my debut with Wicked, and we had a break in our touring contract. And so in the middle, I was like, I need to get to New York. I want to see shows and experience Broadway. And so that was my first time. And I was obsessed. It was a wonderful trip, and it really inspired me to kind of work harder and keep reaching towards the things that I really wanted to achieve in my life.
Yeah. Cool. Everyone that's listening, really, really do encourage you to check out Daniel's website. He has his credits there, but also videos of him performing. He just mentioned that he was in the tour of Wicked, but you could also see him singing things from West Side Story, Chorus Line. He played Elder Young in Book of Mormon. And the theaters you might not recognize being from the U.S., but they're top notch. I did my back end research to see what it was all about. And so kudos to you. Amazing just job in your career so far. Let's get into the next amazing venture that you're a part of, which is Hamilton in Sydney that opened in March. We're super excited for you over here. Like I said before we recorded, you all are just, you know, giving us joy and inspiration and something, a bit of hope as we hang on for hopefully the fall of 2021. What was that like to go into rehearsals? Let's go to rehearsals first and just, you know, share with how getting back to rehearsing and preparing for a show was, and maybe giving some insight to, you know, our Broadway clients and other clients that we have that are about to make that transition soon.
Yeah. It definitely was a big journey. Last year during the pandemic shutdown and everything, I obviously was not performing for like a year and a bit. And I knew especially with what I knew I was going to have to do in Hamilton, that I was going to have to get my fitness level and my performance level up to a place where I can begin rehearsals and feel like I can attack this properly. And I sort of went, once I found out that I booked the show, I kind of, started to kind of figure out what I needed to do to be ready. And, you know, I knew that it was going to be a bit of a challenge because, like everyone who has become very comfortable at home, we all kind of ate our feelings. And also, you know, that's okay as well, you know, like, and that's what we had to do. And, and also we were happy. We did what made us happy. And so, but I knew that, you know, Hamilton was going to be a big physical challenge, especially coming out of what we just came out of as well. So I definitely ramped up the cardio to try and get myself into gear and ready. The team also put together a little bit of a plan for us. They called it the Bulletproof Program. And it was essentially it was great. It was just like a guide essentially for, you know, some stretching things that we should be kind of doing on a daily basis, little exercises, you know, getting some yoga in, getting some strength training in, getting some cardio in, just so that we're preparing our bodies for, you know, a mammoth show. Rehearsals was still a shock, even though I felt like I was ready, mainly because the content in Hamilton is just so huge. And you're dancing on the Revolve and you're jumping and you're lunging and there's just so much going on. And also vocally as well, you know, just kind of getting your voice back up to singing every day and doing what it needs to do, which is normal for us when we're doing it, but then being out of practice for that whole period of time, it's kind of like a big shock to all systems. But rehearsals was a really special time as well, because we had the American creatives come over, and they obviously were so grateful that they got to be there and be putting up the first Hamilton production since the pandemic shutdown. And so it was very emotional for all of us to experience what that was like. We finished the first run of Act One and we all just bawled our eyes out. It was just, I can't even explain what that feeling was like to be in that room and to just feel what that feeling was after all that time. And, you know, they were like, there's Act One of Hamilton. And, you know, they were like, we haven't seen that be performed in over a year and a half now. So like, it was incredibly special. And the show is one that makes you feel that anyway as well. You know, like it definitely is a special show. And so to do that after the year that's been as well, it's a combination of just, you know, we were all very grateful, very grateful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the fact that we could be a beacon of hope for the American Broadway community, it was we definitely felt the weight of it.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So fast forward to getting close to opening and opening, what kind of protocols backstage were you having to follow under this, you know, new guidelines under the pandemic and the audience experience? What was that like to open the show?
So we were very fortunate. We actually did our first preview to 100% capacity, which that is all credit to, you know, our New South Wales government and, you know, all the protocols that were put in place. But also we had Frozen open here in Sydney a bit earlier, and they had a lot of a decreased capacity at that point. Yeah, so we were very lucky because there were many, many, many things that they put into place, like masks. Everyone in the audience is wearing masks. We're all kind of getting tested on a weekly basis backstage to make sure that, you know, we're all safe and doing what we need to do. So there are a lot of different little things that are in place, but I mean, it's a small price to pay when we get to do a full capacity show of Hamilton. It definitely is different. And, you know, we are lucky in that we don't really have any active cases here at the moment, but we're still taking all the protocols because, you know, things can change rapidly as well.
As far as the protocols go, are most of them just second nature now, or are there some where you're like, oh, I got to do this again, you know?
I guess like it has become like normal now, you know, like we enter stage door, everyone's got their Hamilton mask that we just kind of put on, walk to our dressing rooms and all of that kind of stuff. And there's sanitizer everywhere. And, we have two zones in the theater. So we've got like zone A, which is, the front of house, ticketing, ushers, and all of that. And none of those people are allowed to cross into the backstage zone. And so, and that's the same vice versa. So if like dance captains or swings want to see the show, they have to put on all the protective sort of gear, like gloves and the little booties over their shoes and a mask and stuff so that they can take notes. Yeah, they keep both zones very separate so that in case something does break out in the audience, the cast and the crew are completely separate.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. I have, let's see, I have a handful of clients in Moulin Rouge, and I also have a friend that is one of the stage managers there. And for the longest time before the announcement of like, hey, Corona is in the United States, the stage manager was sharing with me like, yeah, it's crazy. Every day we got multiple people out. Everyone's sick. You know, we're just having to make do. And then finally, you know, weeks or a month later, we realized that coronavirus probably had spread through the entire cast of Moulin Rouge without them.
Yeah.
But a lot of, I can't remember if it was their show or another show, it stemmed from an usher. So that's interesting that you're saying that, you know, zones A and B are always separated. Mm. So that's super important.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I mean, I know that, you know, the theaters here in Australia, they're quite big. Like the foyer and all of that area, like there's enough space in our, like it's like the Broadway theaters, some of them that I've been into, like where you kind of like walk in and you're there. It's very different here. Like the theater that we're performing in Sydney is quite, it's big. The foyer is massive. And there's lots of like room for a lot of that, but they have been like bringing, people into the audience in small increments, and also like letting each aisle kind of leave the theater one aisle at a time, just to avoid all of the congestion. Yeah. They're doing everything they can, and you know, it's really great that it meant so much to them to think about all of that so that we can do it.
Yeah. One of my last or second to last questions, maybe a tough one. Now that you are in this, you have the perspective of being back to performing and mm-hmm. can look back to that tough year or however long it was of not being able to in the pandemic, what would you say to yourself during the pandemic as, you know, Daniel who's performing now? Essentially, mm-hmm. I'm asking that for, you know, the listeners out there here in the States who are in that waiting game and don't really... They can't be in your shoes. So if you can share some insight there, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I think the reason why we love to perform and that feeling that we get when we do it is the thing that I want to tell my year ago self to remember, because when that feeling comes back, that's something that that is the thing that we love and we crave it, especially, you know, if that's what we're wanting to do our whole lives. And I think that hope of kind of doing that and feeling that and also my appreciation for every aspect in the show has just like blown into huge proportions because, you know, we know how hard everyone works, and when everyone gets to do what they want to do again, it's very emotional. And I think there were times when, you know, I was, you know, a bit dark back there and, you know, and, you know, looking, being like, when is it going to happen? And even then when we signed the contract and things were kind of looking like they were going to, it's like, well, at any moment it could fold again. And so I think, you know, just being grateful for the little things is something that I really treasured. Like, you know, in like looking forward to singing something online was like, you know, a step. And then I got to do like a solo cabaret in front of like 30 people in a small venue. And that gave me a feeling of like, oh my gosh, I've missed this. And so those like little things kept me kind of like going and being like, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. Like it, I can almost taste it. And then, you know, then getting into the room and then that feeling of like our first performance, staring out to like 2,000 people all sitting there next to each other and us just holding hands, bowing at the end of this show was just a feeling that I will never forget.
Fabulous. I have a handful of clients in the Hamilton tours throughout the States. And I went and saw the Broadway show, and having, this was before Disney Plus, this was before you could see it unless you actually showed up to the theater. I didn't realize until I went how much the ensemble are the transporters of the piece. They literally are taking you from one moment to the next, and the physicality of it is just impressive. I'll say that, but it's also, it tells the piece with no words, if that makes sense. The choreography for the ensemble is, it transports you not only from moment to moment and scene to scene, but it also transports you into the actual atmosphere of Hamilton, if you can metaphorically go with me there. So I commend, without seeing you perform, I already am, you know, giving you all praise and props for the physical hard work that you do on a daily basis. So wish I could hop over the other side of the pond and see it. Maybe we'll meet sometime in New York when you come over here. Rent is a lot cheaper here in New York now. So if you want to come over to get
Sydney is very unaffordable, I tell you that.
There you go. Well, so appreciative of you spending time with us on the podcast today, Daniel. Once again, that was Daniel Aceta. Please check out the description of this episode to get to know Daniel a little bit more. Give him a follow on the gram. Check out his website. Give him some love on his YouTube. And have a great show tonight. And best wishes in the rest
Thank
of your
you
run of Hamilton.
Me. Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right, everyone. That was Daniel Aceta. This is Built for the Stage podcast on the Broadway Podcast Network. Thanks again. This is Joe Roscoe. If you want to try that free trial, just head on over to builtforthestage.com. Later.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.